the 11th chapter, and we shall begin reading with the 29th verse. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." May God bless the reading of His holy word, and may we pray. Dear Almighty, gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, push back any opposition that would hinder the outflow of the Word of God, that Word that was sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. When we think of this greater one, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our souls are thrilled because He's our Savior. He's the one that paid the price in our stead. He's our hope of eternal life. He's our all and in all. So may we see Him today through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may we see the greatness of our Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word this morning. And again, I say in that 11th chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning with that 29th verse through the 32nd, we find the Holy Spirit of the living God is showing us that a greater than Jonas, or greater than Solomon, is here today, has come. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this evil generation shall look for signs as this one was looking for. Jesus told them that day, He said, "This wicked generation seek for a sign." Instead of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they want something tangible, something materialistic. When they don't believe His death as Jonas the prophet was a sign to that generation, this puts this generation in a bad shape. The only sign that this generation needs, and the only sign that any generation will need, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where God dealt with sin. Sin that deserves eternal retribution was dealt with by mercy through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have the same thing. It's very prevalent all over the world. In these great big arenas and everywhere in the great stadium, if they can come forth and claim they have the sign of faith healing, or if they have other signs that they can perform miracles, the great host of the people, they want to come and see something with their natural eye. But salvation is altogether different. It's in the spiritual realm. It's something that's already happened. It happened almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus was expanded between heaven and earth, when all of God's wrath was poured out upon the beloved Son, the Lamb of God, without mixture, when billows upon billows went up over Him, when deep was calling unto deep, when He was giving His soul a ransom for our sins. That's the only sign we need in this generation. Was the same sign that the Ninevites had just seen. A man that had been called to God to come and preach, but one that was rebellious. And then he turns to the type, how God had him cast overboard. And he prepared a great fish and he swallowed Jonas. And we know that he typifies Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary in 3 days and 3 nights. He was in the heart of the earth or in the grave. That was His body. And then He rose again the third day. This is the sign that God Almighty has given to this generation. And his faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Although we wasn't there, the Holy Spirit is here to make the gospel real to our soul. So the great sign that God has dealt with is sin. And they that don't believe this and repent, any other sign will be of no help, of no avail whatsoever. And this morning, what is your sign? Are you looking for some outward sign or some feeling? Or do you take the word of God that 2,000 years ago that God sent his Son, and that Son took upon him the sin of sinners and bore them to Calvary and took their hell and bore the wrath of God in his own body so that you could go free? Look over in Matthew 12, and we have almost the same rendering. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, look at the 39th and the 40th verse as we read the word of God. And it says here, and he stretched forth his hands. Matthew 12, Matthew 12 and verse 39 and verse 40. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh, they don't just once, they continue to, that ETH, seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Brethren, that's the only sign this generation needs. These faith healers throwing up their tents, they're going right opposite to the sign that God gave us when he sent his Son to Calvary. It's not in outward manifestations. It's the Spirit of God revealing what God did in his Son at Calvary for helpless sinners that deserves hell and could not help themselves. Instead of signs, they needed to listen to the God's eternal Son that was sent to tell them the way back to God, because his words reveal our rebellion and our sinfulness against the Holy God. And that should and ought to bring forth repentance to any soul. But man, in his natural state, is so rebellious against God. He wants to do something. He still wants to be his God. He doesn't want to yield to the sovereignty and the lordship of God Almighty. Now, sign, what is it? It brought openly to view a containing in itself the manifestation of something hidden. This is what Christ did when he was here upon this earth. He brought life and immortality to life. That was hidden from the Old Testament saints has now been manifest through the gospel, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here. He did not only die on the cross for us, but he lived the life that we should have lived. He lived the life that was pleasing to God, the life that Adam failed to live, the life that you and I have failed to live. He lived in our stead. Not only did he die, I say again, but he lived for us. Jonah was an emblem or a sign to the Jewish nation that it would be destroyed if it did not repent and listen to the Son of God. And sure enough, that is what has happened to the nation of Israel. In 70 A.D., when Titus took the army, he destroyed Jerusalem. And brethren, they did not repent at Jesus, who was greater than Jonah, but they rejected him as a nation, and God destroyed them and scattered them to the four corners of the earth, never to rise again in the sphere that they were once in. Yes, there's a remnant out of that nation, as well as all nations, according to the election of grace. But now it's not no particular nation. It's that holy nation, made up of out of every nation and every kindred under heaven, an elect people that was chosen in Christ and given to him, and he died for them, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to bring them under Holy Ghost conviction, to strip them, bring them to their wits' end, to make them a bankrupt sinner within themselves, to look out and cry for mercy and free grace. And sure enough, that is what has happened. And in America today, God is doing the same thing. They're looking for signs. They're thinking more about science. They're thinking more about the intellect. They're thinking more about the things tangible, the warheads and the nuclear power and all of that than they are the sign that was given on Calvary's tree. Brethren, with all of the nuclear power, there's nothing that can compete with one drop of the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's enough of power in that blood to save worlds and millions of worlds. Atomic power and nuclear power may destroy this globe, so to speak, or this hemisphere. But, oh, God has created worlds. The great sign is the great power of God manifested at Calvary. Now, with that in mind, we want to look and see that the Son of Man was the true sign. Look at the 30th verse. And in that 30th verse, he said, "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." The Son of Man is used of no other in the Word of God and by no other except Jesus. And Jesus, it occurs to him about 60 times. It was our Lord's chosen title, Son of Man, Son of Man. He was the supreme Godhead as veiled in humanity. And he hints at his humanity union with the Godhead. He was man, but he was still God, the eternal God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all of eternity. On earth, he is titled as the Son of Man, but God representative in heaven at the same time. Look back with me there at Luke, the 5th chapter, if you will, and let's look, let the Word of God teach us something very precious here. Luke chapter 5 and verse 24, listen, it thus saith the Word of God. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into mine house." And only God could forgive sins, but yet he was the Son of Man. Oh, and he had the power, because he was Almighty God here upon this earth. So he is used here as the Son of Man, and he's the only sign, not to that generation only, but to this generation. There was the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, that came from a great distance, that came from afar to see Solomon. You remember that God had given him wisdom above all wisdom upon earth in one person. He didn't ask for riches. He just asked how to go in and out among the people. And the Lord said, "Because you didn't ask for this, I'll give you those and I'll make you the wisest man upon earth." But was he the wisest? Was he the greatest? No, there's one here greater in wisdom than he. There's one that walked the shores of Galilee that's greater than Jonas the prophet and greater than the Queen of Sheba. Over in 1 Kings it is, the 10th chapter, listen at it. And the first verse, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." Now look at the 7th verse. "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me." Brothers, if people could listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, the half has never been told in this earth. The half has never been told in a school. The have has never been told. Jesus Christ did not go to the great universities, but he was the God of glory. He was the very sum of wisdom itself. And she said, the have was not told me that wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And now we find that the Spirit of the living God says, the greater than Solomon is here. This shows that the Gentile nations believed what the Jews did not believe even back in that day, and it's the same thing today. The church as a whole is made up of Gentile nations. The promises that was given to Abraham is now come upon all of the nations of the earth. And that people that was loved with an everlasting love, not only in Israel, but all over the world. Christ died, and now they have been brought through the Holy Spirit of the living God to see that in the wisdom of God giving His Son, their sins was paid for in the Beloved. And therefore, they have received a pardon, and guilt is lifted, and they are happy people here upon this earth because of the wisdom of God that was revealed in Christ. They, like her, come when uninvited sinners and pressed. They saw the need of seeing Him, just like the woman with the blood issue. She spent all of her living on doctors of no avail. But she heard of Jesus and she pressed through the crowd just to touch the hem of His garment. Brethren, it's worth pressing through the crowd of religion. It's worth pressing through the obstacles of the world to lay a touch of faith upon the Master. And that healing virtue can come in, cleanse your soul, and take away the guilt of sin. Wherein is Christ greater than Solomon? Wherein is Christ greater, we ask the question, than Jonas? Solomon was wise, but Christ has all of the treasure of the wisdom of God within His person. You can take sides. I just heard a program last night over the radio station how the Japs are coming forth in their technology, and they are outdoing us on certain parts with their wisdom. Well, America, the Japs, Russia, and all of the world put together, their wisdom is nothing in comparison to the wisdom of Christ, who was the eternal God that created this world, and all things are upheld by Him and through His power. She journeyed long and perilously, but Jesus doesn't have to journey for a great distance. He's here with us in the Holy Spirit. Behold, He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with us. Oh, dear soul, He's near us. The apostle, through the power of the Spirit, said He's nigh us, even in our mouth, the words which we now speak. She could only hear the words of Solomon, but we can hear the words of Jesus Christ recorded in the Holy Bible. And in the Bible it tells us that Jesus is made of God unto us wisdom. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians. Listen at it. 1 Corinthians. And when you get 1 Corinthians, look at the first chapter and at the 30th verse. He said, but of Him, talking of God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus? Brother, it's the work of God that we're in Christ. Who of God, talking about Christ, is made unto us wisdom? I may not know how to get in and out of the rain, but if I have Christ, I have all wisdom. I might have never went to school in my life, but if I know Christ, I have all wisdom. I have more wisdom than Einstein. I have more wisdom than the President of the United States and the King of England. If I have Christ, I have the wisdom that saves my soul and gives me eternity. He said, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness I cannot produce that righteousness. Christ is that righteousness. I must have His imputed righteousness. That's heavenly wisdom. Then he said in sanctification, I can't quit things in my own power. I need the love of God and the Spirit of Christ so created in me that He wills to do in me and through love perform the things of the righteousness of God and redemption. He's my redemption. He paid the price. He paid the price. And all of this is for one purpose, that according as it is written, He that glorieth. And surely that's what we're to do. Let him glory in the Lord. Brethren, salvation is all of the Lord. No man will get any glory. He's all of our wisdom. If we could figure it out with our wisdom, then He wouldn't be our wisdom. We wouldn't need Him. If we could create a righteousness of our own works, the works of the law, we wouldn't need His righteousness. And if we could pay for our great debt some way, and brethren, we couldn't if we give our body. It's nothing but a filthy body. We wouldn't need the body of Christ and the Lamb of God to bleed and die. And if we could quit sin and please God, oh, dear soul, we wouldn't need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, which is the result of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say He's greater because He's the very sum of the wisdom of God Himself. Man will pay money to learn earthly wisdom. They'll go to Spain. They'll go to the uttermost parts of the world. But they have in God's Word all wisdom. And it's right here in their presence. You don't have to go over here to some seminar. You don't have to go somewhere on earth. It's here. The Holy Spirit is here. We have the open Word of the living God. So the greater that more than Solomon is put forth in our Lord's humanity and divinity. I've been thinking of it of late. Oh, I just must bow and worship. The eternal God, one with the Father, without a beginning and ending, condescending, getting in a virgin's womb, there in a fetus, came forth both God and man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Brethren, listen. This Jesus is God who can save or damn. This Jesus is God who can do what we can't do. This Jesus is God that can forgive us of our awfulest sins, no matter what they are. They're not too awful for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to forgive. And so we find that in His humanity, He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. As God, He can forgive us to the uttermost. He was both God and man, oh, the eternal mediator. So His wisdom is higher in its origin, wider in its extent, more beneficial in its purpose than Solomon's was. We have all of it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon built an earthly temple, but Jesus Christ is building the heavenly temple. I know the premillennialist has said He's going to build an earthly. Not so. That was built by Solomon. But our Jesus, our Christ that is greater, is building a heavenly temple. One that has stones, living stones, not earthly stones made with hand, but living stones. Remember the Lord was told about, or John said, He is able to raise up these stones here unto the seed of Abraham. Living stones, and that's exactly what He's doing. He's raising up stone. He called Peter a stone on this rock. And He was joined to the chief cornerstone. And now we're joined to Jesus and the apostles. We constitute the true temple of God, not an earthly one, to be built in Jerusalem. And brethren, I wish you could see this morning. He's building a heavenly one. One that will be eternal in the heavens. Solomon brought reproach to the Lord at the end of his days. He went after many women, but not my Lord. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish all the way to Calvary, and he still is. There was no sin whatsoever. I say again, he was greater than Solomon. He was greater than Jonah. Will you not hear the word of God? Will you not bow to God? Will you not believe upon Christ? Will you not receive him as your righteousness, as your wisdom, as your salvation right now as you sit there? He's nigh thee even in thy mouth, even the words which we now preach. They still want deliverance. They still want to be entertained. They still want their signs. You know the reason they don't want to have to die to sin into the world. That's the secret. Brethren, I'm here to tell you right now, unless you die to self and to sin in the world, be as religious as you want to, you'll die and scream in eternity in outer darkness forever. And my God, if we could hear the screech and the screams of hell today, it would move the soul. And it's only the mercy of God that he awakens us so we can feel our guilt and cry for mercy. It's only God's grace. Thousands he's leaving in their own sin. And when they do realize it, it'll be too late, because the eternal flames of wrath will be winding around their eternal soul. And the wrath of God will know no end forever. He has performed miracles. Jesus had. When he was here, we have them recorded in the Word of God already, and still they are crying for something more. That's the way it was when Jesus was here on earth. He had performed miracles, and they're still saying, "We want a sign." That shows you the heart of unbelief. Unbelief doesn't believe what it sees, much less what it doesn't see. So we find he had already performed the marriage of Cana. He had already did great miracles, and still we want to see a sign. This generation has seen men and women translated from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They've seen bombs become citizens that love the Lord and made great citizens in the community. They've seen bombs and dope fiends and drunk addicts brought to Jesus with a sound mind and dressed up in the righteousness of Christ, singing their songs of joy on their way to heaven, but still they want something else. They don't want what Christ told them. What is a greater miracle than that of a new creature? Guilt removed, and that was heavy upon their soul like a mountain has now been lifted. A new life and a new hope put within them that has filled them with joy, praise, and thanksgiving. I ask you this morning, this is nothing else but a great act of divine power. An act of the divine power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Ninevites repented under warning, and those that are not hardened. And I want to tell you now, we're living in a generation, they don't want to warn this nation. They want easy things, smooth things. But God has always sent his men like Jonas. Repent or God will destroy. In 40 days, God will destroy Nineveh. And I can say the same thing. Unless America repent, God's going to destroy America. Yea, the world. Because a greater has said it. A greater has warned. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Brethren, that's for the man that's educated, and that's the man that doesn't even know nothing. That's for everybody. There must be repentance toward God and faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or there be no hope. And if they don't repent, then they'll harden. Yes, Jonah preached one short sermon, but our greater Jonah preached for 3.5 years here upon this earth. Now just think about it. Brethren, if one nation, a big nation, repented at one man's sermon while Jesus preaching 3.5 years, oh, my soul, man is left without excuse. If you don't want to hear me, you ought to hear the sermons that Jesus preached to Nicodemus, to the Samaritan woman, how he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, dear soul, those sermons will condemn every soul that's ever heard those great sermons. As they're read in the Word of God and preached from the pulpit, there's just no excuse. Jonah preached wrath and rain, and our Lord preached mercy and forgiveness. My soul, what a difference. It's greater in that the message is greater. Jonah said, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy. Jesus said, for judgment I came not into this world, but that men might be saved. My words will judge him that day, but for now I didn't come to judge you, I came to save you. His message was that of mercy, forgiveness. Oh, the difference in the message, and then you can see the greatness, the greater than Jonah. As he preached here upon this earth. Jonah wrought no miracles, but our Lord wrought many miracles. Look at him, his old blind Barnabas cries, oh, son of David, have mercy upon me, and he had mercy. Look at the pool of Siloam, the poor impotent man that couldn't get into the pool. Look at what our Redeemer did. Look how he turned the water into wine. Look how he walked upon the waters. Look at the miracles that he performed. But they still didn't believe it. Jonah, he didn't wrought no miracles at all. I want to say every heathen, even the heathens, that blindly are striving after virtue, condemns those who reject the gospel because they are sinning against more light. I want to say one thing. The people that goes to hell from this city here and all over the world, as we've had men like Brother Tommy and Brother Carpenter, Brother Clark, leaving myself out proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be better that they'd been born as a Hittite in the darkest part of Africa than born in Farmville, Virginia. It will be better for America that they'd have been a heathen and dropped off into hell as a heathen than America, because there are such things as degrees in hell. Jesus himself said it would be more tolerable for Sodom, than it is for Sodom. Because if the great things that have been done in their midst that was done in theirs while he was here upon earth, they had repented long ago. America, my God, America, you're playing church, you've got all your little program, but where is that hard repentance, weeping over your sin against the Holy God, crawling on your face, crying you a leopard and asking forgiveness? Where is that at? God's sick of religion. He's sick of it. Now the one that sent Jonah has come here to this earth to teach us and to instruct mankind. Oh, how great he is. Christ having come is greater in actuality. He's greater in his significance and also greater in his consequences than any Jonah or any Solomon. This morning I want you to know Christ is the greatest. He's the greatest that ever was. He's the greatest that ever will be. He's the greatest to the saint now than anybody on earth. He's greater than their children to them. He's greater than father or mother to them. He's greater than their own life. He's the greatest of all. And so this, with the Lord's teaching here, shows that this life is not the only one. We're to think about the life which is to come. People are living as though they're going to live on this earth always. They're building their great skyscrapers. Just like they built the Tower of Babel, they're building, they're planting vineyards. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking. That's all they think about. Instead of praying, they're thinking about going and filling their stomachs up. Instead of praising God and worshiping God, they're thinking about going to the mountain and using His creation for the lust of the flesh instead of glorifying God. I'm here to tell you people, God's fixing to destroy America. God's fixing to destroy this world if they don't repent and turn to God in humility. If they do not do like the Ninevites, unless they get down in sackcloth of ashes and repent it. One person said God would have to apologize to Solomon Gomorrah if he lets America by the way they're living, and I got to kindly agree with it. And what we think and how we believe Christ will determine our eternal destiny. Whether we think He's the greatest, whether we think He's so great that we want to hear everything He says, whether we think He's so great we want to love Him more than anyone, whether we think He's so great that we want to live with Him for eternity, we'll decide our eternal destiny. Because those that listen will witness against us to our damnation at the end of the world. He said, listen, you Israelites, you Jewish nation, now am I only going to witness against you, but the people's going to come out of heaven. The Ninevites are, and they're going to witness against you. I want to say one thing, there might not be many of us here this morning, but we'll witness against this community as they are thrown into the eternal lake of fire at the end of the world. You're going to stand there and tell how precious Christ was to you, and how that's the reason you went up to that little small church. You didn't go to worship a priest or a preacher, but you went there because others loved the Lord. He was great in their sight, and He was great in your sight. Y'all just came together, and He blessed your soul so good. That's going to be a witness against this community. Yeah, listen. You may say, everybody in my community, they're living like the devil, but God's got you there as a witness. You are living epistle, learned and read of all men. And as Brother Haddon Spurgeon said one time, he said, every little light wants to shine up in the red light district. But he said, if I can be just one little light in a dark back alley that will shine for Jesus to bring some soul from darkness to light, it'll be worth it all. So let the truth of the resurrection be often before our minds in eternity. Don't tremble like Felix when you think about eternity and the judgment seat of God. No, no. But with faith in the Son of God, like the Apostle Paul, let us lift up our face and up our head and rejoice. Because our redemption draweth nigh even at the door. Let's rejoice in it all. Because He that will come, and will not tarry. May we pray. Dear Father, we're thankful this morning for the greater, the Lord Jesus. We come in His name, and we just bow, and we praise You for it all. God, if it be Thy will, have mercy upon this nation. God, are we doing as much as we should to warn this people? How can we sit around and twiddle our thumbs when thousands will soon be screaming in outer darkness? Some of our own children, some of our own family. Oh, my God, have mercy upon us. Move us with the Spirit of God within, that we may see our responsibility. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be an effective witness. Bless this people, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake, amen.